This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne. Russia today began 2 days of national mourning. It is for the hundreds of children, parents, and teachers killed on Friday in a terror attack on a school in the town of Beslan. The official death toll stands at 338, half of those children, but it is expected to rise as the search for nearly 200 missing continues. Flags are at half-staff across Russia, and all televised entertainment programs have been canceled. NPR's Lawrence Sheets joins me now from Beslan. Lawrence, there seems to be no end to the grief and suffering there.
Very sad atmosphere. I think what really brought it home was seeing the cemetery yesterday, where workers were using bulldozers to dig many more graves outside a very small cemetery. This is a small town. No one has been left untouched as you walk through this town. It's a town of little farmhouses. You see many open gates where funerals are planned and where relatives are already gathering for those funerals. Also, many people still searching for their missing relatives. There are up to 200 of them. Yesterday, at the ruins of the school, people walking about with photographs. One man was showing me a picture of his fiancée, wondering what had happened to her. She had been inside the school. Many of these people, of course, presumed dead, unfortunately, and so badly burned, many of the remains, that they've been taken to forensic centers, we believe, outside of this republic for identification.
The Russian government all weekend was being criticized for how it handled the school siege, and especially for lying about the number of hostages that it said originally were in the school.
Even on state television last night, normally a mouthpiece for the Kremlin, there was considerable criticism about the fact that the government had indeed lied about the numbers of hostages, and not just lied in a dramatic fashion. There weren't 300 or 400, as they stated, but well over 1,000. The government continues to basically mislead people about the fact that the terrorists were demanding something. The government says that the terrorists didn't have any demands. We know that that's not the case, because former hostages tell us from the very beginning these terrorists were demanding the withdrawal of Russian troops from Chechnya, as well as the freedom of some of their imprisoned compatriots. Some people questioning also being led to believe that because the government lied about so many other things, questioning about what happened at the very end of this dramatic standoff, whether the building was in fact stormed by Russian special forces, some of the hostages inside saying that they believe the building was fired upon from the outside by Russian special forces to open a hole for the hostages to escape. Still a lot of confusion about that. We may never know the truth.
Well, you spoke just now about those who escaped. What have they told you as you've talked to them about what went on during the 50 hours of the siege?
Many of these people at the beginning simply did not believe what they were seeing. They believed that it was part of some sort of dress rehearsal when the gunman came onto the grounds of the school and herded everyone into the gymnasium. They said it was simply surreal. And then they describe how the conditions simply deteriorated horribly over the next few hours and few days. Once the gunmen said that they were getting no response from Russian negotiators, they began denying all of the hostages water, including the small children. Many of the small children in the later stages of the ordeal began drinking their own urine, and so hot inside that gymnasium, so many people, 1,000 people packed into the building, that the parents were pouring urine over the heads of the children to try to keep them cool. A lot of details about the banter between the terrorists and their captives. The terrorists expressing no remorse for what they'd done and no remorse for the condition of the children, saying, why should we feel sorry for your children when the Russian government has never felt sorry for our children in Chechnya?
It now seems clear that the takeover of the school was well planned.
Yes, very well planned, and this would basically be consistent with some of the terrorist-style attacks that we've seen before, organized by the more radical Chechens and Chechen field commanders. Weapons apparently were already inside that school. This was a school which had been renovated over the summer. Some of the laborers who worked on that renovation were from Dagestan. That's a Muslim republic in southern Russia next to Chechnya, where there are a lot of militants as well who fight with the Chechens. Apparently, explosives stored all over the building. As soon as the terrorists took over the building, they forced some of the captives to start pulling up the floorboards on the basketball court of the gymnasium and took explosives from underneath the floorboards. Reports that other explosives and weapons had been stored elsewhere in the building. This obviously very well planned and had been planned for many, many months.
NPR's Lawrence Sheets in Beslan, Russia. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Renee.